Hey everybody! Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and it's pretty nice to be here. There's a new microphone, so hopefully you noticed this change in my voice. Hopefully it sounds more fabulous than usual. Alright, this is a podcast where I talk about interesting information, okay? It's nice and interesting. And I just have to warn you, you might hear this noise. Don't worry, that's me just sipping some organic green tea. Okay, so don't be concerned when you hear that noise. Don't get upset. It's all right. It's just a noise. Okay, now if you want to see the Kink TV show, which I host, it's on every Friday night at 11:30 p.m. on Channel 31 in Melbourne. And if you're outside of Melbourne, then just search the Kink TV show on YouTube and subscribe to it. Help get those subscribers going up. It's been growing a lot recently. The Kink TV show has been going really well. Recently I interviewed Wim Hof, the Iceman, who's got broken 26 world records and can climb mountains, like freezing cold mountains, just in a pair of shorts. That's pretty amazing that he can do that. That's pretty, you got to get excited about that. And he can sit in an ice bath for like 2 hours and break the world record for that. And he also ran a marathon in the desert without drinking any water. So this guy is doing shit that I keep on talking about in this podcast. Shit that's just unbelievable. Stuff where you're like, no, that's not possible. You know, do you know on this podcast, I don't know if you remember this, but I'm sure I've mentioned this on this podcast. There are people in India who meditate for like 3 months straight and don't eat anything. They go and like hibernate in a hole. And they meditate for that long and they survive for that long without food. And these so-called scientists and doctors and biologists at university who are all old-fashioned, they just don't know. And old-fashioned. Universities are old-fashioned. They're so out of date. They're so not up to date with what's going on in the actual real world of science, right? These people are like, no, that's impossible. You can't just meditate and stay alive for that long without eating and stuff. And it's just like, well, yeah, here it is. Here's the guy. You know what I mean? And it's like with this Iceman, Wim Hof. He's from the Netherlands. It's like, yeah, here's the guy, and he's been tested scientifically, and he proves it. And scientists are like, what the hell? And so it's just like, if you think I'm a nut job and talk about weird out there stuff that isn't actually the truth, a lot of what I'm talking about is true, okay? There's evidence for it, okay? Just because it doesn't happen that often doesn't mean it's not true, okay? So it's great that this Wim Hof guy exists because he just proves it totally wrong to these nerdy, university-type scientists who think they know everything about the world, these Richard Dawkins type of people, right? But they're actually wrong. They're wrong. You know what I mean? And then this guy exists to prove it. It's just like, there you go, man. There he is. Okay, he's a superhuman. Okay, he's got a really powerful mind and he admits it, right? But anyway, the people who really run this world actually know the truth of what's going on. Like, they know that this sort of stuff is possible. It's just the people who are just like, you know, the lackeys, you know what I mean? Like the minions of the evil people who work for them, the scientists and that sort of stuff, who don't really know what's going on and they just do what they're told and they think that people can't do these amazing things and don't believe in any spirituality and stuff. And it's silly because spirituality does exist and this sort of stuff is going on. All right, so today's podcast. Also on the Kink, there was a guest called David Icke, who's pretty big, so he was a great guest to have, and he was good to talk to, and if he had a podcast, I think he does have a podcast, actually. Check him out, David Icke. He's great to listen to. He's great. He's onto something. The stuff he's talking about might sound really out there, but he's onto something. My podcast is probably the most similar. This Kink podcast is probably the similarest to him. Because essentially he talks about one thing, evil people and what the F they are doing to this world and trying to tell people the truth and enlighten them and wake them up to what's actually the truth. And that's basically what this podcast is all about. It seems to be. It seems to be very political, and it seems to just hone in on evil people a lot. From day one, the first podcast, it's just me talking about what these evil people are doing and how they're ruining people's lives. And they're ruining some people's lives so effectively that the people aren't even aware that their lives are being ruined. So that's how amazing what is actually going on. They're very good at being criminals, and David Icke talks a lot about them. But anyway, today's podcast is part 8 of the video commentary of Wake Up Call, A New World Order. It's a documentary, and we're 76 minutes into the documentary. It's 8 parts, and we're basically just listening to the documentary, and I'm talking about stuff that's going on in the documentary. It's a goldmine documentary. It's really good. Maybe listen to part 1 at the start if you're new to this podcast, and listen to each one of the commentaries, and you'll get a real good idea, because this, maybe listen to this and then actually watch the documentary for yourself after you've listened to these podcasts, because it is interesting, this documentary, and it's a big wake up. It's a wake up call. It's wake up. Wake up to what's actually going on around you. You know, like someone on the evening news will hear a report saying vaccines do not cause autism, and that's a bullshit report. Like, it's not the truth. It's actually a lie, right? It was created so that people don't get sued for harming people for the vaccine. If they admitted that the vaccines were actually causing autism, all these parents would put their hands up and say, "You owe me $1 million. You owe me $1 million," right? And so to protect themselves, they just come out with the most fantastic bullshit things that say, no, they're not causing autism, where the evidence is that they are causing autism. So they're trying to cover up their tracks and not get in trouble, you know? So you get average Joe, and he would see on the news a report that says vaccines don't cause autism, and they'll see something on Facebook that says it does, and they'll go, "Oh, this person's a moron," because I get it a lot, because recently I've been talking a lot about vaccines. "This person's a moron, he doesn't know what he's talking about and all this sort of stuff. What the hell is he talking about? There's no evidence that vaccines cause autism." And it's just like, dude, you haven't even researched this subject, you haven't even looked into it properly. You've just heard a report in the news that says it doesn't cause autism and just believed it. The thing you have to realize is the media lie, okay? They can directly, completely and utterly lie to you. And a lot of the time, the media don't even know that they're lying. It's actually the information they're getting. The person who's giving them information is the person who's lying. The news is just reporting on it. But anyway, that's a big wake-up to what's going on in the world. You have to realize the world is full of bullshit. It's full of lies. It's full of deceit. It's full of tricks. It's full of deception. Like, Obama is the biggest bullshit artist going around. Like, he's exceptionally good at it. To get elected, he goes, "We're going to bring the troops out of blah, blah, blah." And he said all these great things in 2008. "We're going to blah, 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 blah." Seems all perfect. Then he gets in and he does the only thing different that he did from the previous people who were in power in America was that he did more of it. This is how crazy it is what's actually going on. It's such a lie. And people can't handle the fact that, what was it, something on the evening news could be reporting on false scientific studies about vaccines causing autism. They think their media is honest and trustworthy. If you think this world is a good place, you are the one that needs to wake up. And that's what this documentary is all about. So let's watch this documentary and wake up to what's going on. All right. Let's continue this documentary. Okay. So why would the US government and mainstream media lie to us about what really happened on 9/11?
Since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913, a number of large and small wars have commenced. The three most pronounced were World War I, World War II, and Vietnam. World War I. In 1914, European wars broke out centered around England and Germany. The American public wanted nothing to do with the war. In turn, President Woodrow Wilson publicly declared neutrality. However, under the surface, the U.S. administration was looking for any excuse it could find to enter it.
By the way, speaking of wars and all this sort of stuff, don't get involved with them. Like, they'll try and say, you know, you've got to get involved in these wars and stuff. Like, what Australia is doing in... Why is Australia in the Middle East? It should have nothing to do with the Middle East. Why is America in the Middle East? It should have nothing to do with the Middle East. Do you actually know the truth of why America's in the Middle East? Like, this is going to blow your mind, right? Because they want to get a hold of the oil, right? Because the oil is profitable. But even more so, the Middle East produces a lot of drugs and corrupt people, like in the CIA and stuff, apparently want these crops protected that produce the drugs. That's how crazy this world is. Like, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Like, seriously, there's a lot of heroin, and there's a lot of, I think it's heroin, actually. Anyway, there's a lot of heroin that comes out of the Middle East, and the American troops are in there protecting the crop fields. But the troops don't know they're protecting the crop fields. They think they're just stabilizing the area. But they're actually, like, and apparently if you look at the statistics of heroin production when America went into these countries in the Middle East, suddenly the heroin production, like, shot up. Anyway, there's this book by L. Ron Hubbard called Mission Earth. It's a big saga, 10-volume book, amazing. It talks about heroin being made in Turkey. And, you know, supposedly fiction. It's not fiction. A lot of it's true. But the thing is, that book doesn't even go... It depicts Earth as being this really screwed-up country, place that's so corrupt. But the truth about that book is that it's actually... it's actually under-exaggerating what's really going on. Like, in that book, it didn't talk much about satanic sex cult rituals where kids are getting molested and then sacrificed and getting killed and shit. Like, that's what's going on. Like, it is so insane. It didn't even talk that much about mind control, right? Like, MK Ultra mind control and stuff. That book, even though if you read it and stuff, you're like, whoa, this presents Earth as just being such a corrupt place with mafia and dodgy politicians and drugs and just, like, so corrupt, right? But the truth is, if you keep on looking into what's really going on in the world, it's actually worse than that. Like, there's Satan worshippers who are at the top and do these weird cult sex rituals and love pedophilia and love violating little kids and screwing up the kids for the rest of their lives. Like, it is horrific what's going on. Like, even with the vaccine issue, apparently they knew the vaccines would cause autism. And I think in some places it got banned, but then they just took the vaccine to another place and put it in there, even after they knew it caused autism. That's the severity, the seriousness of the world we live in and what's actually going on, is we share the planet with sick, psychopathic, criminal, satanic, cult, sexual creeps, right, who are intentionally trying to make society into autistic retards. That's the truth. That's what's going on. I mean, it's that epic, right? I would only be scared if I was weak and dumb. That's the only time you should be scared. And if I think about it, years ago when I didn't know about this sort of stuff, when I wasn't awoken, in general, I was quite scared. And now it makes total sense. I should have been scared and fearful of things a lot of the time, because it's just like, this world is a damn dangerous place, right? But when you're smart, when you know what's going on and you're healthy and you do right and you find out the truth, it's an awesome place. Amazingly. It's pretty good. When you're not a victim of these people, you know, don't fall into their bullshit. You know what I mean? Just be strong, natural, live healthy. Don't rely on government benefits. Get off the dole. Get off the invalid pension or whatever if you can. Be independent, be strong, be creative. Look after yourself and don't let yourself become a victim of these people. They all want you on the dole. They all want you a slave. They all want you sick all the time. You know, I mean, it's just horrendous when you look at the vaccine damage that's going on and they knew that that was going to happen. It's just like, wow. But that's what evil people are like. Hitler was cool with torturing the Jews in the concentration camps, and the people who allowed vaccines that are causing autism to be pumped into little kids in the 90s when they started it, they knew it was going to do that, and they didn't mind. That's just not... These people, these evil people I'm talking about, they're what I call and what other Scientologists would call first dynamic people, right? And that's because there's different dynamics of life. There's eight of them in Scientology, right? And I'll just give you a little bit of a cap over what Scientologists believe. So there's like eight parts of life. One of them's you, numero uno, looking after you. Another one is your family. Another one is your group, so maybe your work or your soccer team. Another one is the human race. Another one is animals. Another one is the earth, like nature and rocks and all this sort of stuff. Now, see how life is broken up into different things? And you might have someone like Russell Brand, for example, who preaches a lot of spirituality and he's trying to help humankind. So he spends a lot of time on the fourth dynamic. And he also talks about sex a lot. He's a horny bugger. So he's also like in the second dynamic and the family and the kids and that, right? And he also looks after himself, obviously, because he looks pretty healthy and strong, right? And then you take someone like Steve Irwin, that crocodile hunter guy. He loved the animal side of things, right? And he also loved his family as well. But when I say these, when I'm talking about these evil people and these people that David Icke talk about, they're first dynamic people. They are obsessed with themselves. That's all they care about. It's like they can harm babies, they can slaughter all these animals, you know what I mean? They can just do the most horrific shit, but because all they care about is numero uno, themselves. That's all that matters. It matters if they get the promotion, it matters if they have the awesome job, it matters if they have the best food, it matters if they have just the best power. It's all about them. They're first dynamic people. And I've spent some time with people who are like this, and they are quite interesting because when you're around them, it's just like, yeah, it's as if other people don't exist to them. It's just like all about them and that's it. They're very selfish. On South Park, the character Cartman, he's one of these first dynamic people, right? It's a funny show, but they're depicting with this Cartman character, they're depicting this like insane Hitlerian type, Hillary Clinton type, like egomaniac type. Not Donald Trump. Okay, yeah, he loves himself and he thinks he's awesome and I think he's a pretty damn good guy. But he's not one of these freaks that's like into satanic sex cult rituals and pedophilia and is like, he's not one of these first dynamic people. He has a family he looks after and he wants to become a politician, actually look after America. I've read some of his books. He genuinely cares about America and he's pissed off with how badly it's been run economically by people like Hillary Clinton. She's a first dynamic person. She tries to pretend like she cares about the people. She tries to preach like she's Russell Brand or something, but she genuinely doesn't care. She's fake. All she cares about is herself. It's all about getting as much money as possible, her being the best, right? So remember, when I talk about these evil people, this is about 3% of the population, the people that David Icke are talking about, these, you know, apparently reptilian or whatever, okay, these people are first dynamic. They're all about numero uno. So they can do the most horrific thing to babies with vaccines or anything and not even bat an eyelid. It doesn't affect them. They don't have ability for empathy because they don't care about anything else. It's just all about them. Anyway, so I can't remember what I was saying, but we'll continue this. The video commentary.
In a noted observation by Secretary of State William Jennings, the large banking interests were deeply interested in the World War because of the wide opportunities for large profits. It's important to understand...
See what I mean? They're cool with starting a whole war and having all these people slaughtered and people getting put in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives. They don't give a shit as long as they get a special defense contract and make $1 million. See what I mean? All they care about is themselves. And the thought doesn't even come across their mind to even think about anyone else. They're just, This is just how they are. It's like some people are born with brown eyes. These people are just born evil. Are born sociopathic and psychopathic. Are born first dynamic people and just are born as numero uno. All I do is I matter. That's all that matters. They're just crazy.
The most lucrative thing that can happen for the international bankers is war, for it forces the country to borrow even more money from the Federal Reserve Bank at interest. Woodrow Wilson's top advisor and mentor was Colonel Edward House, a man with intimate connections with the international bankers who wanted in the war. In a documented conversation between Colonel House, Wilson's advisor, and Sir Edward Grey, the Foreign Secretary of England, regarding how to get America into the war, Grey inquired, "What will Americans do if Germans sink an ocean liner with American passengers on board?" House responded, "I believe that a flame of indignation would sweep the United States, and that by itself would be sufficient to carry us into war." So, on May 7th, 1915, on essentially the suggestion of Sir Edward Grey, a ship called the Lusitania was deliberately sent into German-controlled waters, where German military vessels were known to be. And, as expected, German U-boats torpedoed the ship, exploding stored ammunition, killing 1,200 people.
Okay, so you see what I mean? So that they sent this ship into the German waters where they knew it was unsafe, so that it would get shot down, and then the American people would see it in the media, and the media would flare it up because they've controlled the media, these evil people, and they'll go, "Oh my God, can you believe it? It's so outrageous." And they'll be like, "It's so upset. We've got to go to war and fight these Germans," right? And then the German side of the argument, right, which would be that, you know, we warned the Americans, we told them not to go in there, this is a war in a dangerous territory, they're not supposed to send ships there, we specifically warned them, and then they intentionally sent the ship into that area, right? That whole point of view, you won't hear that, you won't hear that, you only hear that in Germany, you won't hear it in America. So the Americans don't get the full picture. But this is why, so they can get conned to get sucked into going into the war. But this is where the internet's awesome, because you can hear both viewpoints, you can hear both sides. Stuff can't get hidden. Okay, if there's a Hillary Clinton speech going on and the crowd is empty, you can't hide the little videos that people have on their phones that show the seats being empty. You know what I mean? The news can report on it and show a good little shot where it looks like the crowd's big, but then there'll be all these little things on social media going out by people going, "Oh, look how small the Hillary Clinton crowd is." See how it's just like the internet defeats it. It's so good, right? And that's what's going on. This similar situation with the German and American thing back in 1915 is similar to what's going on with America and Russia now. Like, our news is like, because Australia's a Western country, our news is like anti-Russia, and it just like, it always has an anti-Donald Trump spin on everything as well. It's just such a joke, the media. You can't take the mainstream media seriously at all. I mean, Trump said some little passing casual joke like joking about guns and Hillary Clinton, and the media flared up and goes, "Outrage, outrage, Donald Trump incites people to go and shoot Hillary Clinton." And it's just like, that wasn't at all what he was saying. Did you actually see what he was saying? Like, that is ridiculous, you know? And people actually, dumb people from Melbourne, right, will actually see that report, who don't even understand what's going on in the media and how the media lies and just looks for any controversy possible, will see that and go, "Oh my God, Trump's bad. I can't believe Andy Nolch supports Trump. What the hell's wrong with him?" And it's just like, you don't know how the media's working. They're brainwashing you to make you think a certain way. Actually, stop, look with your own eyes, and see what Trump actually said, and it really wasn't that bad, you know? Anyway, so they do the same thing with Russia. They explode anything that Russia says makes Russia out to be bad, and always the Western country is always good. And so then it's like encouraging a war between America and Russia. You know what I mean? When the reports, it seems like Putin really isn't that bad a guy. I've looked into a lot of his stuff, and he really isn't that bad, you know? He's also anti-vaccine as well. So the people in Russia, because they just get the Russian news, they think, "What the hell's wrong with these Americans?" And the people in the Western countries see the news and go, "What the hell's wrong with these Russians? You know, we're going to be scared of the Russians. Oh, police state, more government, more, you know, fighting." Anyway, it's just a joke. So it's just the same stuff going on back in 1915 as it is 100 years later today.
To further understand the deliberate nature of this setup, the German embassy actually put advertisements in the New York Times telling people that if they boarded the Lusitania, they did so at their own risk, as such a ship sailing from America to England through the war zone would be liable to destruction. In turn, and as anticipated, the sinking of the Lusitania caused a wave of anger among the American population, and America entered the war a short time after. The First World War caused 323,000 American deaths. J.D. Rockefeller made $200 million off of it. Not to mention the war cost about $30 billion for America, most of which was borrowed from the Federal Reserve Bank at interest, furthering the profits of the international bankers.
They love war, these bankers.
World War II. On December 7, 1941, Japan attacked the American fleet at Pearl Harbor, triggering our entry into that war. President Franklin D. Roosevelt declared the attack was a day that will live in infamy. A day of infamy indeed, but not because of the alleged surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. After 60 years of surfacing information, it is clear that not only was the attack on Pearl Harbor known weeks in advance, it was outright wanted and provoked. Roosevelt, whose family had been New York bankers since the 18th century, whose uncle Frederick was on the original Federal Reserve Board, was very sympathetic to the interests of the international bankers, and the interest was to enter the war, as we've seen, nothing is more profitable for international bankers than war. In a journal entry by Roosevelt's Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, dated November 25, 1941, he documented a conversation he had with Roosevelt. The question was, how should we maneuver...
Sorry, just wanted to say that, so these evil people I'm talking about, which is about 3% of the population, David Icke had a really interesting stat that he said that when you... He said some scientist did some study or some eye guy did some study, and apparently about 4%, which is similar because it's close to 3%, about 4% of people have reptilian eyes. And David Icke always talks about these evil people and how they're reptiles. And then this guy does a study where 4% of the population have reptilian type eyes. It's just a weird coincidence, you know what I mean? These coincidences seem to keep on backing up that... Like, that prove David Icke is right about certain things, you know what I mean? And I know it sounds like a wild thing to suggest that the Queen is secretly a shape-shifting reptile, right? But the evidence is indicating in that direction, and maybe he's just misinterpreting what the evidence is, but he's definitely onto something. Lots of studies show that 3% of this population are psychopaths. There's something about this stat of around 3%. Of people who are just horrendous, these first dynamic, completely obsessed with themselves people, right? So these people you always see have a chronic obsession with money because money leads to a lot of power and it leads to a lot of numero uno, total obsession with me. So that's why they'll be bankers and they'll start wars or sell vaccines that harm people because they're totally obsessed with themselves. What I'm trying to say is you'll always notice there's always seems to be money involved and they just do anything corrupt for money. And it's because money is all about me. I'm going to be powerful. I'm going to be the best ever. It's all about me. And this money gives them that. So you're not going to see them doing a some dodgy deal in order to get countries fighting amongst each other so that they can play lots of video games. No, they're going to do a dodgy deal with the banking so the countries fight so they make a lot of money and they sell a lot of drugs and vaccines so they make a lot of money. They're like obsessed with money because it shoots them up. Like if they got heaps of loaves of bread or if they got, you know, let's say they did these dodgy corrupt things so that they could hang out with celebrities that they liked, right? Because it would be kind of cool to hang out with a bunch of celebrities that they like. No. They'll do it so they get money and they get the power and they get the whole obsession with the first dynamic thing. You know, it's just that's what you'll always see. That's what this world is just like. The corrupt people in this world who are running it are obsessed with money, extremely corrupt. And their crimes always lead back to doing something to earn a buck in just a horrific way. It's just bizarre. Because if they put their attention to actually earning money a decent way, then they could get rich as well. But they can get rich, I think, faster, and they also just like harming people and ripping them off. It's part of their character, like screwing up other people. So they're always going to make money in a dodgy way. You're not going to see them actually running a good, healthy company that helps people, because that pisses them off. They don't like helping people. They like harming people. So you're always going to see them making money in a bad way. Let's continue.
And then firing the first shot. It was desirable to make sure the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt as to who were the aggressors. In the months leading up to the attack on Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt had done almost everything in his power to anger the Japanese, showing a posture of aggression. He halted all of Japan's imports of American petroleum. He froze all the Japanese assets in the United States. He made public loans to nationalist China and supplied military aid to the British, both enemies of Japan in the war, which, by the way, is completely in violation of international war rules. And on December 4th, 3 days before the attack, Australian intelligence told Roosevelt about a Japanese task force moving towards Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt ignored it. So, as hoped and allowed, on December 7th, 1941, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, killing 2,400 soldiers. Before Pearl Harbor, 83% of the American public wanted nothing to do with the war. After Pearl Harbor, 1 million men volunteered for the war. It is important to note, Nazi Germany's war effort was largely supported by two organizations.
So I just want to say, yeah, this media is a big part of the brainwashing in the world that's going on, and that's what's great about the internet, because there's independent media and they can't control it. So it's starting to snap people out of the bubble, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's fantastic. And totally forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, the media are responsible for so many arguments and fighting amongst... Like, I just noticed on Facebook people would fight about political things, and it's just because the media has been feeding people bullshit, so they argue. Like, if people actually had the truth and it was made known, there would be no arguments about vaccines on the internet, because everyone would just know the truth. But because there's all these lies in the media, it just gets everyone fighting, and it also... It starts from fighting on Facebook, and then eventually it leads to full-on war-scale fighting because they just bullshit everyone.
One of which was called IG Farben. IG Farben produced 84% of Germany's explosives and even the Zyklon B used in the concentration camps to kill millions. One of the unspoken partners of IG Farben was J.D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company in America. In fact, the German Air Force could not operate without a special additive patented by Rockefeller Standard Oil. The drastic bombing of London by Nazi Germany, for example, was made possible by a $20 million sale of fuel to...
See? Jeez. Oh, do you realize how epically corrupt this is? So this evil, rich American dude, like insanely rich, and he's only insanely rich because he's so corrupt in the way... He just assassinates people who are his competition, basically, right? Since back in the 1940s, insanely rich Rockefellers were supplying Germany with... well, something to do with the fuel, right? So then Germany can bomb England and other countries. Whereas the Americans were supposed to be on the west side, yet you got this corrupt, dodgy Rockefeller dude that's like helping the Germans and stuff and encouraging them to blow people up. All so he can make a quick buck. That's how corrupt these people are. They don't care. They don't care if Americans and all these people or New York City gets blown up. They just move to some special island that they've bought out and they just... They want wars to start because they make money from it.
Farben by the Rockefeller Standard Oil Company. This is just one small point on the topic of how American business funded both sides of World War II. One other treasonous organization worth mentioning is the Union Banking Corporation of New York City. Not only did it finance numerous aspects of Hitler's rise to power, along with actual materials during the war, it was also a Nazi money laundering bank, which was eventually exposed for having millions of dollars of Nazi money in its vaults. The Union Banking Corporation of New York was eventually seized for violations of the Trading with the Enemy Act. Guess who the director and vice president of the Union Bank was? Prescott Bush, our current president's grandfather, and of course our former president's father. Keep that in mind when considering the moral and political dispositions of the Bush family.
All right, I just wanted to mention, because David Icke talks about how there's certain bloodlines and certain families who can get possessed by these reptiles or some shit, right? I have noticed that, yeah, it does seem to be that evilness seems to run in certain families. And it's like almost like some people seem to have DNA that's like evil DNA. Anyway.
Vietnam. The United States' official declaration of war in North Vietnam in 1964 came after an alleged incident involving two U.S. destroyers being attacked by North Vietnamese PT boats in the Gulf of Tonkin. This was known as the Gulf of Tonkin incident. This single situation was the catalytic pretext for massive troop deployment and full-fledged warfare. One problem, however, the attack on the U.S. destroyers by Vietnamese PT boats never happened. It was a completely staged event to have an excuse to enter the war. Former Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara stated years later that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a mistake, while many other insiders and officers have come forward relaying that it was a contrived farce, a complete lie. Once in the war, it was business as usual. In October 1966, President Lyndon Johnson lifted trade restrictions.
Okay, hold on a second. So they're saying that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was bullshit, never actually happened, right? But the media just said it happened. Or they just came up with, like, this dodgy thing to pretend like it happened. Apparently, that's kind of like some of the terrorist attacks. Like, some of them actually just fake. And they just, like, make them appear like they're happening to scare everyone. And some of the terrorist attacks are just full-on caused by the government. Like, corrupt, dodgy CIA people who want the attacks to happen. You know, look, if you're new to this podcast and stuff and this sort of information, it sounds so unbelievable and you think it's bullshit, but really, if you just keep on looking and you keep your eyes open, eventually you just start believing all this sort of stuff and you start going, you know what, it sounds so crazy, but, you know, I think it's true. Like, the evidence is just there. You just got to keep on looking for it. It's just like, you know, the evidence is overwhelming, so you end up just believing that, yeah, the government, corrupt people in the government are causing the terrorist attacks. Because it sounds so wild, you know, because you're like, what do you mean the government is actually responsible for 9/11? What the hell? That sounds wild. Like, but, you know, this is what the evidence is saying. It's really interesting. It's really, really interesting. This world is like a wild science fiction movie. And just jump on board and have fun with it. You know what I mean? That's how wild it is.
He's on the Soviet bloc, knowing full well that the Soviets were providing upwards of 80% of North Vietnam's war supplies.
Sorry, I just have to say, when I was a kid and I first found out about the Vietnam War, and I found out, like, because I understood, you know, Hitler was a Nazi in World War II, and that's what, how they got into the war. Then I heard about the Vietnam War, and then I was like, I thought it must have been a similar situation. And then I heard that it was just like, no, the Americans just didn't want Vietnam to become communist. And I was like, what? What the F? So there's a whole war just because America didn't want Vietnam to become a communist country. What does that have to do with America at all? It has nothing to do with them. Like, that's just ridiculous. That's no reason to start a war. That's not like some Hitler dude who's torturing people in concentration camps. Like, I understand that. You have to go and save those people and stuff. But it's just like, what a shitty reason to start a war. And to me, that was a jaw-dropping thing when I found out what went on with the Vietnam War and why it happened. I was just like, how the hell did people go along with that? Like, that's a load of crap. Right? And obviously, I hadn't heard all the spin of this whole story of, like, oh, communism was spreading and they didn't want, you know, China to become communist because they're going to take over the world and all this sort of stuff. And I understand that maybe back then I could see how someone could get sucked into it. Like, it could be like, oh, it's like, you know, Nazis, but communism, and it's like Russia and it's China and blah, blah, blah. And but my initial reaction as a kid was just like, what the hell? Like, America wasn't getting invaded. Some dude wasn't torturing people in concentration camps. Why the hell does America have to have anything to do with Vietnam? You know? But now that I actually go over the explanation for it, I guess it kind of makes sense if you view, you know, communism is spreading into all these countries and suddenly it's the whole world against the West and America. And, oh no, you know, they're going to take us over and stuff. I think if I was around back then, I would have been switched on to how politics works and I would have looked at the whole communist system and I would have said, but they're just going to fail and it's not going to work out, so there's no point in fighting in Vietnam. And eventually communism did fail because it's just not efficient, it just can't last. It's just such a dodgy system. But I was just so shocked when I heard about the Vietnam War. I was just like, what? That was why you started a war? What a shitty reason to start a war, you know? America should... And it's the same as... Think of the Middle East. What the hell's America doing in the Middle East? What... Seriously, what the hell are they doing there? They shouldn't be there. What the hell does it have to do with America? You know what I mean? It's just a weird idea that you can just go into other countries and start wars. Anyway, let's continue.
Consequently, Rockefeller interests financed factories in the Soviet Union, which the Soviets used to manufacture military equipment and send it to North Vietnam. However, the funding of both sides of this conflict was only one side of the coin. In 1985, Vietnam's rules of engagement were declassified. This detailed what American troops were and were not allowed to do in the war. It included absurdities like North Vietnamese anti-aircraft missile systems could not be bombed until they were known to be fully operational. No enemy could be pursued once they crossed the border of Laos or Cambodia. And most revealing of all, the most critical strategic targets were not allowed to be attacked unless initiated by high military officials.
Okay, hold on. See what these rules are that they're laying down between the war in Vietnam? They're basically setting up a fight between two people that'll last for ages. Because that's what the bankers want. That's what the people that are corrupt at the top want. They want permanent long-time war. And that's what goes on in the book 1984. It's like you're just constantly in war. And that's what's going on today with the Middle East. It's just like a long-term war on terror that just lasts forever. Because they want the war, because they want the people who are selling the stuff to make money, and they want people to die to get the population down, and the bankers want to make money by bankrupting the countries who get into these wars. So that's the system they want to set up, and that's what George Orwell knew about when he wrote 1984. He knew that they want this permanent, long-time war going on, and they even want a fake war going on, because in the book 1984, it talks about how bombs will be going off in London that were set off by the party themselves just to scare people and keep people wanting to fight for the cause and stuff. And it's like these fake terrorist attacks. It just keeps people as slaves and fighting and wanting to support the government so that they can be protected by the government. That's how dodgy it is, you know?
Those ludicrous limitations. North Vietnam was informed of these restrictions and therefore could base entire strategies around the limitations of the American forces. This is why the war went on so long. And the bottom line is this: the Vietnam War was never meant to be won, just sustained. Yeah. This war for profit resulted in 58,000 American deaths and 3 million dead Vietnamese. So, where are we now? September 11th was the jumpstart for what is now an accelerated agenda by the ruthless elite. It was a staged war pretext no different than the sinking of the Lusitania, the provoking of Pearl Harbor, and the Gulf of Tonkin Lie. In fact, if 9/11 wasn't a planned war pretext, it would be an exception to the rule. It has been used to launch two unprovoked illegal wars, one against Iraq and one against Afghanistan. However, 9/11 was a pretext for another war as well. The war against you. The Patriot Act, Homeland Security, the Military Tribunals Act, and other legislations are all completely and entirely designed to destroy your civil liberties and limit your ability to fight back against what is coming.
So what happens is the terrorist attack will go on and people will go, oh, I'm scared. Ah, yes, pass a law that monitors the internet. And yes, pass a law that means that there's pat-downs at the airport station. And yes, put police and guns and military everywhere to protect me because I'm scared. When it's just like, if you want to make a lot of money selling guns to the police, go and start a fake terrorist attack. And then suddenly the police, you know, people will be calling for the police to expand and then you make all this money selling guns. Anyway. Okay, so here, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. That's exactly true. And that was the propaganda minister for Hitler called Joseph Goebbels. So, yeah, you tell a lie, like the vaccine thing, and you make it really, really big, that you say vaccines are good, right, and they don't cause autism. That's a lie. And you make it really, really big, and you pump it around the media heaps, and you just continually fight it. People just believe it. And people do believe it. It's just ridiculous. There's something about evil people I've noticed that when they do say lies, they make them really big. It's like some little law they've worked out. It's just like you don't do a little bit of a con job or anything. You scam someone really, really big, and it's like, okay, let's say you're a used car salesman and you're selling someone an old Toyota car. Sorry, you're a Ferrari salesman and you want to rip someone off, and you actually... And you go. The person looks at the Ferrari and goes, yeah, cool, I'm thinking of buying this, right? And the person buys it, but the truth is that Ferrari is actually an old Toyota. And you tell the person this, and they go, what the hell are you talking about? That's ridiculous. How the hell would this car, right, be an old Toyota? Like, that is such bullshit. That is so unbelievable. Nah, you're an idiot. Like, you cannot. And, you know, they just walk off, right? But if you said to him, hey, this Ferrari you bought is actually the old version of Ferrari 6 years ago and isn't the new one, and he's just painted it up and hidden it and you're being ripped off, the guy will go, oh, okay, really? Maybe. Okay, I hope that's not the case. And they'll look into it. So you see how when you're ripping someone off or you're doing some scam or some lie, if you make it really, really big, you're more likely to get away with it. Because the person's more likely to go, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? I've been told vaccines are good my whole life. What do you mean they're causing autism? That's ridiculous. No way, no way. If you started it off with, oh, I heard that vaccines actually affect the immune system a bit badly, so they get colds more often, people are more likely to believe that as opposed to, you know, vaccines are just outright sending people into retards. Like, that's just too hardcore for people to believe, you know? So something, just to let you guys know, something that these evil people do is if they're telling a lie, boy, do they make it really, really big. Because the bigger it is, the less likely they are to find out about it. And Joseph Goebbels knew all about this. Anyway, let's continue.
September 11th. Evil. Killer.
Taliban. Al-Qaeda.
Osama bin Laden.
War and danger.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Terrorism.
So I just want to say, if people back in 2008 who were all excited about Obama were like, yeah, we're getting the black president, oh, it's so good, yeah. Firstly, he's half white, so it's just like, he's not totally black. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it's just like, it's just weird to totally like... He's just as much white as he is black. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know if that's really a win for black people, right? Anyway, I think it's good that, yeah, a black guy got elected, right? But not him. He's horrible. Dr. Ben Carson's much better. He's an excellent politician. I really hope he becomes president one day. Anyway, so people who are all excited about Obama, right? And they thought, yeah, it's going to be good, you know? It's going to be good for black people and more equality, but... You look at how he's been in power for like 7 years now, and you look at the end result, and what do you get? And you get all these Black Lives Matter and riots and police shooting black people and stuff. And it seems like there's just as much as a problem with racism in America than there has ever been. And it's just like, hold on, I thought Obama was going to solve all these racism problems. Isn't that why it was good that he got elected? Because it was supposed to solve all this racism stuff? It's just like, no, He's a complete con man, and he's just a terrible person, and he couldn't care less if there's riots going on, and he couldn't care less about the average black person. He doesn't care about them. So that's why there's not equality going on. That's why there's these black against white riots going on, because Obama isn't helping the whole black cause in America. Anyway, let's continue.
Terrorists.
Do you know one other trick that these evil people use as well? They're so well connected and they're so much in power. If they've got somebody who they want to be as their special man, like Obama, they'll also do something where they give him like a Nobel Peace Prize or some sort of special award, because they've got those awards, you know, locked in. So they'll go, okay, we're putting up this guy, and they'll go, also make him Time Man of the Year, and they'll go, oh, also make him Australian of the Year, or also make him a Nobel Peace Prize winner. So they really do everything to pump him up. So the average person goes, what do you mean Obama's just this dodgy dude, man? He's got a Nobel Peace Prize, he's got blah, 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 what are you talking about? But it's just like, yeah, but the people who give the Nobel Peace Prize award are just damn corrupt. So of course they're going to give it to him, you know what I mean? So that's just one of the things that they do. Like, they'll take a doctor who is dealing with vaccines is actually corrupt, and they'll give that person some scientific award. So people will look into it and go, oh, but this person's got to be good. They've got this science award. But it's just like you're just being tricked by the whole system.
Terrorists, the evil terrorists. Terrorism. The words are hypnotically repeated. Terrorism. Terrorist. Terrorist threat. And, of course, believed to be linked to Al-Qaeda. But
by the way, I saw this thing that talked about terrorism, and it said back in the 1800s, a definition of terrorism used to be government by intimidation, which means basically terrorism is like a form of government where people are controlled because they're scared, right? And that's what's going on in America with the whole police state and the whole fighting of terrorism thing, is that the government are controlling people more and more because they're being scared by terrorists. If they weren't scared of terrorists, the people wouldn't care about, you know, doing anything about it. If the people weren't scared about 9/11 and getting attacked by terrorists, the government couldn't expand and couldn't do all this crazy stuff that it wants to do. Terrorism is something used to control people because it scares people into doing what you want them to do. Because if they weren't scared, then they wouldn't do anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll just be cool. So that used to be the definition of terrorism in the Oxford Dictionary, apparently 1800s, right? And L. Ron Hubbard talks a little bit about this, how certain people change the definition of words to suit their agenda, right? It's a real clever way of doing it. And 1984 talked about this as well as like just taking the word freedom and either changing it and then totally making it disappear, so the word freedom doesn't exist anymore, so all these slaves in the 1984 world can't even think of freedom because it doesn't exist. It's a clever way of controlling people, controlling the language and the words. So if you look at the definition of terrorism nowadays, it says the unofficial or unauthorized use of violence and intimidation in the pursuit of political aims. And, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. But the 1800s definition was more, it more implied that the government were the terrorists. It was an interesting way of looking at what the word terrorism meant. And the evidence is indicating that the government is the terrorists and who are making the terrorists so that they can control people more and make more money and stuff. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But I'm just letting you guys know that there's a little secret about controlling words and what they mean and stuff like that in a way to control people. It's really shifty, you know, like they'll change the word from Al-Qaeda to ISIS, and it just confuses people because they go, what the hell's Al-Qaeda, what's ISIS, and they keep on changing the enemies and stuff, and people don't already find Middle East really confusing, so now why are they called suddenly ISIS and ISIL and IS? Like, what the hell? Like, it's all about confusing people, not letting people know what the true meaning of words are. And 1984, this was such a good book. It also, in 1984, there's three superstates, and they're apparently sort of fighting, and you're always fighting one superstate, right? And then he mentions in the book, sometimes there suddenly changes and you're fighting the other one. But that's just like changing, you change the enemy. So you change the enemy is this person, then change it to the enemy is now this person. And what it does is it makes you just fear everyone, right? So you're scared all the time and you're always thinking you've got to fight because everyone's out to get me and everyone's our enemy, right? But also it just confuses people. And so they're just like, what the hell? ISIS, ISIL, what hell? Al-Qaeda, what hell? Osama bin Laden, what? What Susan is saying, it just confuses people and they're going, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on in the Middle East. I'll just leave that up to the politicians and I'll just pay my taxes and send troops over there to blow people up. It's just ways of controlling people.
War on terrorism. It's in our face.
But a really good rule is you can only control people. You can control people in a good way by being honest. But how you can control people and get them to do something that they wouldn't ordinarily do is by lying. You can control people by lying, and these governments lie, and the media lie. And Hitler lied, and Hillary Clinton lies. So there's something, you can control people and get people to do fucked up shit if you lie to them. It's a good rule. Remember that, like if, you know, if you want to become evil. You know, but it's just a really good, interesting rule. Yeah, Ron Hubbard said that one. He goes, you know, you can't control people without lying to them. It's a little rule. And this is like, yeah, people make out Ron Hubbard to be bad, and it's just like, he's not bad. Like, the church got corrupted and shit, but it's just like, he gave really good information to people to wake them up to what's going on in the world, and that was a really good rule. If he really didn't like people, why would he tell them that rule then? It sets people free. Remember that. If you want to control someone, you've got to lie to them. Now let's continue. That's why people in the corrupt Church of Scientology nowadays, it's corrupt. How the people in the church are controlled and stuff, because it's quite a controlling sort of cult, is by lies. It's not open, it's not truthful. So, you know, you've got to lie to control people. Because once the truth sets people free, as Jesus said, or the truth shall set you free, or whatever the Bible. There's something about the truth that sets people free, and lies traps people. And the whole world and this whole documentary is breaking all these lies, so it snaps all these lies away from you in your life, and then you wake up to what's going on in the world and you're set free.
Practically 24/7, as the inescapable focus of our existence.
One day, our grandchildren will look back on this time and ask, how was the war on terror won? The entire U.S. ruling class, ruling elite, comes to see terrorism as the preferred means, indeed the only means, to provide social cohesion, to provide an enemy image for the society, to keep it together. According to neocon theory from Carl Schmitt, you have to have an enemy image in order to have a society. A very dangerous thing, because now it means that the entire social order, the political parties, intellectual life, politics in general, all based on a monstrous myth. Monstrous myth.
See, this is really good. This is all this whole 1984 thing that I'm talking about, where it's just like, you can't have a control system like 1984 set up, right, without having the enemy and without having lies and without having people scared. Because people wouldn't ordinarily volunteer all that time and give up all their freedoms for no reason. But if you say to them, hey, you're going to get your head slit off by a crazy terrorist, then, or your local sports stadium's going to get blown off, then they'll be like, oh, you know, just pass whatever laws, control me, I'm a sheep, whatever. So that's pretty interesting, huh? So we're about 87 minutes into the documentary, so we're like more than halfway through now, which is finally good. So that's it for this podcast. It's part 8. If you're in Melbourne, you want to check out the Kink TV show, the comedy show that I host. It's on every Friday night, 11:30 p.m. Or you can just search the Kink TV show on YouTube and you can see old episodes there. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Andy Nolch, the Space Cowboy, signing out. Meow!